from the book of Numbers and see if you can spot the grumble and possibly where there might be some help there.
The reading this morning is from Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron opposed Moses. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hadn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Please, God, heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she was brought back. After that, the people left Hazeroth and encamped in the desert of Paran. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, friends. Well, we're going to have a little bit of a think about that story. So why don't we begin with a little prayer to ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your written ancient word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who inspired it and the Holy Spirit who helps us hear that word to us today. Please come by your Spirit. Speak to us for our good and for your glory. Amen. Amen. It's a story in three parts, this story, and I want us this morning just to spend a bit of time with each of the three parts. And to help me with this, I'm going to need three volunteers. I've already volunteered them, so you can relax. Sue, can we begin with you? I'm going to give you something which I'd like you to hold up for everybody to see. Is that all right? There we go. It's not actually typecast, is it? We don't see Sue look like that. But anyway, the story begins, and it's a story of grumbling. A story of grumbling. Let's meet the characters, though, to begin with, shall we? The first character is this person here. We've kind of come across him quite a bit in the Bible already, and his name is Moses. Anyone just tell me anything you can remember about Moses? Just randomly, anything you remember about Moses? Anybody? He did, didn't he? Because he was clearly going to be somebody who was going to be a leader. He wanted to see God's people go free. Do you remember? And of course, Moses was the leader. He took God's people out of slavery and into freedom. So he's quite a kind of, he's a bit of a hero, isn't he, in the Bible? But in today's reading, will you notice the things we find out about him? Firstly, he's a leader who's attacked. People are grumbling about Moses. Did you spot that? And although he's attacked, it says something really interesting about him. It says he was the most humble person on the face of the earth. Don't you think we could do with a few more leaders like that? Not full of himself. It's not all about him. With Moses, he was quite happy to be ordinary and normal and nothing special. He was ready to make himself small if needs be. We also find out, did you spot this? He is a special friend of God, like no one else. What does God say? With Moses, I speak face to face. He actually sees something of my glory, not with anyone else. And then here's the final thing we find out. God says, he is my faithful servant. You know those folks you can really rely on? Moses is one of them. So there's Moses. Now there's two more characters I'd like you to meet. And actually, they're part of his family. For starters, there's this lady, and her name is Miriam. There she is, his sister, and then another character, his brother, Aaron. No jokes about keeping your hair on, all right? There we go. Aaron and Miriam. What do we know about them? They were quite important too. Miriam was a prophet. She brought messages from God. She sang songs for God. She was really special. And then we've got Aaron. Well, you can tell from his clothes, he was a priest. He was somebody who had great power, great dignity in God's people. But here's the thing. Moses is their kid brother, okay? And Moses is the special one, all right? So just think about that in your family, okay? Just for a moment. Your younger brother or sister becomes more important, is getting the attention. Everybody's listening to them, not so much to you. Can I just ask you a minute, honestly, how might you feel? You're beginning to get that feeling? Do you begin to see, maybe just inside at least, a little bit of a grumble, a little bit of what's going on here, what about me? Do you see that's exactly what happened in the reading? For starters, they lay into Moses' wife. It's not very fair, is it? She's a Cushite. She's from Ethiopia. She is a black African. We can be like that about people with different backgrounds, can't we? We can grumble about them, and that's what they were doing. But even more, do you hear what they were saying? Hang on a minute, God speaks to us too. We're just as important. We want your job, Moses. And there's a real family grumble going on. It's a story of grumbling. Friends, is that a story you know? That a story in your family? Maybe where you work? Maybe the school you work at or you've been in? Maybe the church we're part of? Do you know the story of grumbling? That's the first part of the story. Now let's come to the second part. Can I have another? Simon, can we have you for this? I've got a little emoji for you as well. If you wouldn't mind standing next to Sue. There we go. If you could hold that up for us. Here is the second part to the story. It begins with grumbling and it moves to grief. You can imagine it, can't you? It moves to grief because there's another very important character in this story. I wonder if you remember who that was. Just have a look at that picture. Do you remember they're in the desert camping? And right in the middle of the desert, there's a great big tent, like a royal tent for God, for the king. Now, of course, God is everywhere. We can't see him. He's with us all the time. But sometimes he shows himself specially. And here he is. He comes as this great cloud over the tent. And that's what happens in this grumbling story. Do you remember? God comes down. Friends, how do you think God feels about grumbling from this story? Anyone like to hazard a guess? Not too happy. Thank you, Steve. In fact, we know he's not too happy because something rather alarming happens to Miriam. Do you remember? Suddenly, she breaks out in a rather unpleasant skin disease. Ooh, that doesn't sound very good, does it? What is going on here? Isn't God trying to make something so clear we cannot miss it? It's as plain as the spots on Miriam's face. That grumbling brings grief. Grumbling brings grief. It spoils our relationship, doesn't it? Spoils things between us and God, spoils things with each other, and if we're honest in our own hearts, we don't feel great about it, do we? Grumbling is not nice. We know it in our own lives. And sometimes it kind of wells up and it's like a, you know, just like a dirty thing inside us we're ashamed of and we wish we didn't have that was there. And isn't that why it is so wonderful that right at the doorway to the Christian life is a ceremony of cleansing? Do you know that? You've had it. I guess most of us in here, you were washed in baptism. And that's why baptism is such a powerful picture, because it speaks to our hearts, not just of the physical cleansing, but the cleansing we all need from the kind of selfishness and the grumbling and all that stuff inside us. It is such good news to know we can be made clean. It's like, I don't know what you did this morning. I don't know what you saw when you looked at the mirror this morning, but this needed a wash, I'm telling you. And you know that, isn't it lovely? There's something beautiful when you feel clean and ready to face the day. And baptism points to an even deeper cleaning that comes into our lives and can clean us every single day. So we've got grumbling and we've got grief. There is one final part to the story. Suzanne, you get the part. If you want to come and stand next to Simon, that'd be lovely, and hold that emoji up for us. Suzanne gets the emoji of gladness. Go on, June. He did. It seems like Miriam was the ringleader, because it's interesting, quite unusually in this, Miriam's name comes first, and so we think it was probable that Miriam was the main kind of, absolutely. And then here we go, we've got gladness in the end. Because ask yourself, what actually happens to Miriam at the end of the story? Do you remember?
It's quite interesting.
She does, and then comes back in. Because after the 7 days, she is made clean again, and all the disease is gone. But how does that happen, friends? How does Miriam get clean? Do you remember? Anyone like? No, it wasn't just the 7 days. It was something before that. Anyone remember in the story? Thank you. A person who was special to God came to God and prayed for her. Even though all he'd had from them was grumbling and grief, Moses went to God and said, please, will you heal her? And sure enough, he did. Now, friends, what does this ancient story with spotty Miriam and grumbling Miriam and Aaron, what's it all got to do with us? Isn't it this? Moses was just the warm-up act. You ever been to a concert, maybe in a big stadium or a hall or whatever, and there's often a big name, isn't there? A really big name, and before that, there's a warm-up act. Do you know that? Might be a comedian, might be a lesser-known band, whatever it might be, there's a warm-up act. Have you ever thought of it like this? The Bible is full of warm-up acts. Full of warm-up acts before the really big name comes. And what these warm-up acts do is they give us little pointers of what the big name is going to be like. So think about it for a minute. Moses was not the last person who got attacked, even by his friends. Moses wasn't the last person who was so very humble he made himself small. Moses was not the last person to be a very special friend of God indeed. Moses was not the only faithful servant. And Moses was certainly not the last to pray for those who wanted to hurt him. Do you know who we're talking about here? Who is the really big name that Moses is meant to help us think about and look forward to? It is Jesus. And unlike Moses, Jesus didn't just die and stay there. Jesus came back to life. Unlike Moses, he wasn't just a special friend to God. He was the closest. He was the Son of God. And unlike Moses, Jesus can come into our lives and our world today to begin to show us a better way. That's what baptism points to. Jesus is the great washer, the great cleaner, the one who forgives us from our grumbling and then wonderfully shows us a better way to carry on. And that's how I want to finish this morning. I've got two more slides I'd like you to look at. Look at this first one. Here we go. That is somebody who is a great hero of mine. Sadly, he is dead. He's been gone a couple of hundred years. His name you might have heard of is John Newton. Anybody heard of him? You know, John Newton was a businessman of types. He traded in human lives. He made slaves of people and sold them to other people and made money from it. It was a horrible life. It was a really dirty life that needed cleaning. But then you remember what happened. He met Jesus Christ. He found Jesus was really alive and Jesus could forgive him and make him clean again. And not just forgive him, but begin to show him a better way to be instead of grumbling. And there's something in Newton's diary I'd like us to look at. Can we just have a quick look as a final slide? There's a few words that Newton wrote in his diary, and I'd love you to try and keep this in mind in this coming week. Here's what he said. When I hear a knock at the door, I hear a message from God. It may be a lesson of instruction, perhaps a message of patience. But since it is his message, it must be interesting. Now just pause. Just think what's going on there. Newton had been converted by God. He had a great ministry. He was always busy. He had lots to do for God. And then sometimes a knock came at the door. Just a bit like it does for you. Something you don't expect. Maybe something you don't particularly want. Maybe the knock's going to come at your door this week. And you're thinking, how will you respond? John Newton, very easily, perhaps the old John Newton, a good grumble. Get out. Leave me alone. I don't want that in my life. But look what he does. He says, but I hear a message from God. Because the God who's forgiven me, who's looking after me, who's working in everything for my good, who's planning my life, even when difficult things come or unexpected things, I know he'll be working for my good. And in the middle of those things, I can be glad. Perhaps a message of patience. But since it is his message, it must be interesting. I love that. I don't always remember it. But what a wonderful, wonderful way of showing us. You see, grumbling in our lives will lead to grief, but Jesus brings gladness. We could do with a bit more of that, couldn't we? In our lives, dare I say in our church families sometimes, dare I say in our wider world and our community. So can I just ask you something this morning? Do you know that Jesus? Do you know him? Maybe you are a Christian, you've been calling yourself a Christian for a while, and you've fallen into patterns of grumbling because it's so easy, it comes so naturally to us. And I wonder if Jesus this morning is saying, just remember baptism. I came to clean you so you could start different, so you could live a different way. Will you let me help you discover gladness instead of grumbling? Or maybe you're here this morning and you're still thinking a little bit what you make of this Christianity stuff. Do I really believe? I'm not quite sure, but boy, I know about grumbling. I've got quite a few grumbles. I'd just love to be set free from those. I'd love to find a better way. I'd love to find some of the gladness of a John Newton. Can I encourage you, if you don't yet know that Jesus, why not grab hold of a Christian friend and find out how you could? There's quite a few people here who'd be delighted to share that with you. And if you don't know anybody else, the church warden Susan's terrific. Or maybe even, if you get the B team, the vicar will be there as well. Why not find out how you can come to know this Jesus who takes our grumbling that leads to grief and instead gives us not just gladness now, but gladness forever? Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for Moses. What a wonderful example of somebody who forgave people who were so negative about him and who prayed for their good. And we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus, who didn't just pray but went to the cross for those who complained and did not want him. Thank you for Jesus, who died so we could be washed clean. Oh Lord, please set us free from grumbling. Help us to discover your eternal gladness. And we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Can we thank our three volunteers? Thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. Thank you very much. Thank you.